Why do you think so many successful or, you know, talented barbers, their businesses fail?
Because a lot of people who work in a shop self-employed rent a chair, they think they're their own boss. It's technically, okay, you are your own boss, but I have shop rules that you need to follow.
I have a standard.
Because I can still sack you.
I have to learn patience. Yeah, I used to be quite, fiery, hot-headed a little bit. You know, if something, has annoyed you or something you're not happy with, go take a word with yourself, go have a little think of how you're going to approach that instead of just flying off the handle. Do you know what I mean? That's a massive thing.
Once you sign that lease and stick your name on the top of the door, and all that kind of stuff.
White flag straight away.
You are boss. You know, that's it. And they smell bullshit quick. I think as a boss, if you're bullshitting them, they know. They might go along with it because you're the boss and out of that.
Yeah.
But they know bullshit.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we are here at the Victoria Warehouse in Manchester at Haircon. I am here with Tom Hoffman of Diligence and Michael Damiano. Hey. The shop is Michael Damiano, isn't it?
Damiano Hair, it's called.
Oh, Damiano Hair.
Yeah, Damiano Hair. Sorry.
As you can see, my research is on the pulse, as always. Thank you so much, chaps. I really appreciate you coming and taking some time out.
I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
The big question that I always think is missed when we talk about shops shutting down. You know, we seem to dismiss that shops shutting down, you know, is the government's fault or the council's fault or someone nicking your staff or, you know, there's that one level of fault seems to be enough for people to blame the businesses going. Mm-hmm. And personally, I just think every business has to have the kind of a purpose, what it's there for, why are you having a business, and it needs a leader.
Course.
And I think leadership has got lost. I think in this world of self-employed, there feels like, oh, we can't say anything. They're all doing their own thing. And both of you have really good directed businesses that, you have good teams. I mean, you have a huge team and you've gone through swaps, you've gone through changes, you've kept that. It's a big store with a lot of people. You've got an amazing store in Guildford. I'm very luckily went and did an episode with you there. And you've got a really committed team. You know, I met his apprentice and I thought they were a rep for the
That's crazy, right?
That's a good start.
I guess that's really what I wanted to talk about. I guess the first question would be, you know, why do you think so many successful or, you know, talented barbers, their businesses fail?
Lack of management.
You really do.
Lack of leadership, lack of management. You can sit there and blame the landlords, you can sit there and blame your staff, but the number one person who's responsible and take self-accountability for that should be the owner, the shop manager. So if you're sitting there blaming the landlord because his bills have gone up, well, if my bills went up, I wouldn't sit there and stress. I'll sit there and think, right, how can I make more money? How can we get more revenue? Mm. How can we get more barbers in the shop? What can we do differently? So personally, the person who takes the self-accountability should be the leader, should be the boss. I think it's up to him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think it's about, you know, I think that point that if you've got a good leader, to me, can pivot. You know what I mean? I think, you know, there are always problems. You know, there's always a windy day. There's always a rainstorm coming.
I think you have to be on a personal level, like with your staff, like, you know, checking in with them a lot as well. You know, checking in with them monthly. We like to do like monthly check-ins with the boys to make sure they're on a level. And, you know, giving them purpose as well in the salon as well. I like to give them, you know, a job, maybe something to do with the deliveries or something like this. But each person has a purpose, and that, you know, keeps the team close. You know, and it makes them feel like they're valued as well. I think it's a really good technique that we use in my salon.
I agree with that 100%.
But I think if I retreat it back a bit, the vision of your shop, there must have been a reason. You know, you both have had great careers prior to having your shops. There must have been a reason that you felt your high street or the industry needed Michael Damiano Hair, that it needed Diligence. There must have been a vision. Or was it just like, oh, I think I like my own shop?
Me, it was, you know, I felt like men needed more. So I really wanted to be able to deliver that in some way. But it was trying to get, you know, everyone on board with that. Because people thought you were crazy, saying, no, men are going to come for their facials, men are going to do this and that. But, you know, I really thought that there was a gap for it. So for my vision, it was just giving men what I felt that they wanted and then getting everyone on board with that. And just really went for it and tried to push it as hard as possible.
Mm. I think as well with a team, you have to have a team that believes in your vision as well.
Yeah.
I think the difference between a boss and a leader, a boss can tell your staff what to do, but a leader makes your staff want to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference as well. You could be a boss and you can sit there and tell people, give people orders, do this, do that, but where's the respect level in that? A lot of bosses
how do you share that goal? How do you get them to buy
into? I think it comes from the passion. If they see the passion in your eyes and you're pushing your passion, I think if you can deliver that somehow, you know, by either taking them to shows or, you know, introducing them into stuff that maybe you did too late, you know, earlier, like with Finn and people like that have at my shop, I take him to shows now to make sure that he's seeing the passion that I'm trying to give, and putting him in a position where he can actually live it as well. So it's not just me, it's everyone gets that chance in the team.
I think as well, if I was to start again and work in a shop, I want to look at the leader or the boss, for how you call it. I think, is that where I want to be? Is this person doing what I want to do? Do I want to be working for brands? Do I want to be educating? Yeah. So I think as a leader or a boss, I think my staff need to respect me, look up to me, and feel like I like what he's doing. I wouldn't want to work in a shop where it's not going anywhere and it's not, the boss just comes in and out. And doesn't control his team, because your staff will soon get fed up.
I think you've got to be careful of them thinking it's all just about you. You have to make it all about everyone.
Yeah, but how do you share the glory? You know, you guys are on stage doing your stuff. You're getting all the, you know, you got all your beautiful tiki-tokis doing the gorgeous stuff, and the, you know, that's generally you guys. I know that teams will join you, and you've got teams with you here this weekend.
It's important to have a team.
How do you share their team?
Everyone, and like, I think what you do is amazing, because you've also got your, you know, the episodes that go on as well. And having everyone on board of that is even a whole new chapter to what we're trying to just do in the salon. Yeah. But I think what you do is you've always got your team around you, you know, and they're following you around, and you're introducing them to everyone. And that's what I try and do as well. And when they're involved like that, they feel special. And I think they're saying, you know what? It's not just him, it's us. Yeah. And that's what we try and breed at Diligence anyway. And I know you do the same.
100%.
How do you get that culture? And I think that's the bit that we're missing. I think the word culture's just popped into my head, that you've got this culture.
Yeah.
Us rather than me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I think, you know, I know yours is slightly, well, I think you're hybrid, aren't you, your business, and yours is all chair renters. So you're showing and proving that it can be done. I'm certainly not saying it's easy.
Yes.
But how do you spread that culture? And how would someone listen to this who's feeling a bit isolated turn that round?
It's like just getting on a personal level, like I said, just checking in with people and seeing what they want. So we set goals and then we try and check in again at 3 months later. You know, I try to say, don't make it monetary value. Try say, like, what do you want to achieve? And then we'll check in with them and say, you know, have you made it? Have you got it? Are you selling more product? Have, you know, all these types of things. And, you know, just being really personal with my team.
Yeah.
I think you just got to be on a personal level. I think that keeps them together.
I always say team, it always stands for together, everyone achieves more.
Mm.
So I couldn't be in the situation or the place I am today without a good team around me. Team that I can actually trust, not just say, get on with the work, I'm going to go and do this hair show now, or I'm going to go do these celebrity haircuts, or I'm off here. I always like to involve my team.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to find a trustworthy team that believe in you, follow your vision. But sometimes you've got to sit back and you think, well, hang on, I'm a little bit too harsh on this, because this is my vision, not yours. These are my goals, this is my vision. Like you said about my team, of the social media stuff that I'm trying to do right now. In my shop, I came across 2 or 3 years ago where I feel like, how can I get my whole team involved in promoting and advertising us a little bit more? And the more times more clients came into my shop, they always said, you guys have got great personalities in the shop. Not just me, my whole team. Great personalities. Love coming here, because you guys are just fun to be around. You guys should be a TV show. And I thought, well, it's a great way of pushing out advertisement here, not just through haircuts. Because as barbers, yeah, it's great to see a haircut now and then, but if you're not a barber and you're watching through our social media, it's attention grabbing now.
Grab
attention. And I think
you do that well.
Yeah. And it worked really well. I had a team and I thought, do you know what? I had a videographer come in for the day, and I think it's really important now. Social media is huge. A few years ago, I was against it. I hated it. But now I feel like how it's important is to develop that into your salon. But I feel when you are a boss, when you are a leader, it can't just be about you. Because your staff will then look at you and think, well, actually, you're not involving us. That's your goal. That's your vision. And they need to look up to you. They need to see someone you need to be inspiring to yourself.
Think back in the salon days as well, like when I used to work for, you know, quite a big brand back in the day. Everyone was very, you know, in their chair to themselves. And I think now in our salon, it's very different. It's definitely more community vibes in the salon. I just think it's changed quite a lot, because I remember, you know, I worked for Tony and Guy and stuff like that back in the day. And it was just very like you, your chair, your column. And I think that I just used to see that. and just didn't want that.
Yeah.
In the salon. So I tried to go the completely opposite direction and, you know, involve everyone, even pushing my clients, my own clients to my team and making them believe in themselves that they can do my clients. Do you see what I'm saying? I think that's a big thing as well.
So you say that as well, because I had a situation where I had a staff member join my team a few years ago, great barber, but my clients didn't know him, so they didn't want to adapt to him. But I thought he was amazing at cutting hair, but no one gave him the opportunity. So as a leader, as a boss,
you can
I didn't have anything to do, didn't have a holiday. I purposely took 2 weeks out so my clients didn't have an option to help my team grow. Mm. So that's what I did. I took 2 weeks out. I said, look, you're going to have to book in with this other barber. He's really going to give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
And they did. They realised how good he was at cutting.
They get the confidence.
Yeah. And again, I sacrificed my own column that for the last 2 weeks just to help boost my team.
Yeah.
Because if I was away and all my clients were like, oh, I've got nowhere to go. I'll wait for you in 2 weeks' time. What's the point in that? What's the point of having a team if my clients are going to be waiting for me when I take a vacation or I'm away?
Mm.
So I feel like as a leader and a boss, you need to sacrifice yourself sometimes to help grow your team.
And chuck them in at the deep end as well.
Like I said earlier, you've got to self-check on them all the time as bosses and the leaders. And when we're so busy doing hair shows or we're so busy in our own lives, sometimes we do forget about our team.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got problems. So they might not even speak up because they haven't got the confidence. Mm.
You spend so much time with them as well, so some they do look up to you. And if you can just get on that personal level with them, you know, it does.
Well, I think that's it. A lot of these guys will be with you, you know, maybe 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
See, I would fall out with all my friends, including my wife, if I spend 40 hours a week every day with her. So, you know, I think it's interesting listening to you because, you know, I'm sure a few of the older boys listening will recognise that actually what you're talking about is a barbershop of like 25, 30 years ago, where it was all the boys came together, what that team was a very natural gel.
Yeah.
They partied together, they went together.
Yeah.
You know, every person I talk about shops of 20 plus years ago, talk about, it was a great crack there. It was, and they feel like that was their mothership, if you like. And then there's been this spell with this kind of conversation about chair rental that it was almost like, oh no, we can't be team, you're there. Mm-hmm. And I think you're very brave in the fact that you're trusting and giving to get a team to work with you.
To be strict as well, like if you see something or something happens that you don't like, you have to stand on what you are trying to do and believe in as well. So you have to come across sometimes, you know, if something's you're not happy with, and say, look, this is the standard I want. And if you can't do it, then literally you have to be cutthroat about it.
Especially with self-employed, because a lot of people who work in a shop self-employed rent a chair, they think they're their own boss.
Mm.
It's technically, okay, you are your own boss, but I have shop rules that you need to follow.
I have a standard.
Because I can still sack you. I can still tell you to leave. So
you
do have a boss, you do have a leader. So you're going to come into my shop and we all start at 9 and you're starting at 10. I feel like when I take a member of staff on, yes, you're self-employed, you rent a chair, but these are the rules you have to abide by. Mm. We still have shop rules. You still have to be on time. You still have to work together as a team. When you're self-employed, I know a lot of barbers will buy their own products. It has to fit an example. I don't want someone buying a Happy Shop of gel for £1 because that dilutes, because you might not afford it, but now that makes my shop look shit.
Yeah.
Because you bought a crappy piece of gel that's not going to accommodate with the rest of my team, the rest of my staff. So we do have rules. I think you've got to set them rules and examples before someone joins in. Yes, okay, you rent a chair, but I can still ask you to leave tomorrow.
But it's quite, I mean, again, that's, you know, I think there's a lot of guys out there hopefully listening that don't have that. And actually, I speak to a lot of guys that are kind of almost a little bit frightened that their team will, you know, their barbers will go up the road or leave and so on.
Yeah.
And I guess you can't have it both ways, really, can you? If you have a negativity
a
bit.
Make a mistake when they leave, though, don't they?
Oh, of course.
They always come through.
To this day, I've never had a barber, I don't want to say this, but I've never had a barber that's done so great after leaving.
Yeah.
Done okay.
Yeah.
Not so great, but I don't hold a grudge.
The first time that happens to you, it hurts.
Of course.
Then when you see that you know, these people do make a wrong choice sometimes when they do leave, I think after, if it happens again, you're like, okay, that's fine. You know, if you're not going to play by the rules and what we're doing here, if you do go, I know you'll be back.
I think it's a realization.
You know, I don't get so scared about it anymore. You know,
I don't know how you feel about this, but when someone does leave and you take it to heart, I now feel like, okay, that's why did he leave?
What
did I do wrong?
Wasn't
I there as a boss? Wasn't I there for a leader? I feel a little bit insulted if someone wants to leave my shop, because I'm like, okay, so what makes that shop so much more appealing than my shop? What am I doing wrong? Mm. So I like to know. Then
you might have elevated them so much that they believe in themselves that they can go do what we're trying to do.
Well, one of the whole reasons why I started my social media stuff was because I had a barber that worked for my shop, went to work in another shop that was pretty much higher than me, working with celebrity cuts, and goes, I want to grow my career. And I thought, okay. That then I sat down and think, well, now I need to do something. It gave fuel into me. It's like, right, I need to change something up here. I want people to sit there. And I started this social media of making a TV series in my shop. Now I had barbers leaving. Now I've got my inbox full of people wanting a job to be part of what I've got.
Yeah.
It's how you flip things. So it when someone leaves my shop, I feel a little bit insulted. I feel like, okay, but it's my, I take self-accountability for that. I'm like, okay, that's my fault why you left.
It's an interesting point actually as well, that when you know, the people that now are queuing up to come to you, you know, the interview process is something that we really pay attention to as well. You know, are you the right person? Come in, spend a day with us, you know, and we just do it. The interview goes over like a 3-day thing. So you come spend a day with us, do a couple of haircuts, but we have to make sure that you're the right person as well. And I have told people, you know, before that they're not right for us. And it's hard to say, but sometimes you've got to figure it out, you know, before they start working for you. Otherwise, you know, it could become a problem later on.
Yeah.
So the interview pro
100%. I always as well. I always, when a staff member comes in for an interview or asks for a job,
you've got to figure them out.
I don't care how good you are at cutting hair. I can help that. I like your personality, how you are with people, how you gel with the team.
Yeah.
No egos in there. And to be fair, it's like I can help you fix how to cut hair.
Yeah.
I can't help or teach you a personality, how you are with customers, how you are with a team, respect, the loyalty. I can't teach that. So I see genuine people that come into my shop right now and I feel like, okay, you've got a great personality, you're good with people.
Yeah.
That I can't teach, and that's what's rare.
Yeah.
You get other barbers that they think they're so good, and they're like, look at my trims. I don't give a shit how good you are at cutting hair, because in the end of the day, when people come for a haircut, it's the service. It's how people may feel. If you can ask any clients out there. It's like when I always say this as well, when you go to a restaurant, you have the best food you've ever had in your life. Great, amazing food, but the service in there was shit. Do you feel like you've enjoyed your experience? Not really. Or you can go to a restaurant, you've had the shittest food in your life, and this has probably happened to you guys, but you didn't enjoy it. But the service
was good.
And so remember, good.
I'm going back.
Yeah, you do.
I'll give them another chance. Yeah.
Good. The service was great. The waitress was such a lovely person. The service, I felt welcome. I felt like I want to be here. And that, I enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
So it's not about the product. It's about, I personally believe it's the service. And that's what I try and tell barbers when I educate. I always try and say it's the service that you really need to focus on.
Yeah.
If you focus on that, you're going to get clients.
Well, I think that is that crux comes back to having that vision in the first place.
Yeah.
So you're like, this is what our shop is. And you know, I would have guaranteed that your customers come to your shop, and then once they're in their shop, they'll find maybe a barber that they really like.
Yes.
And if they move, and I think that's always the thing, it's like, are they going to go and take all their clients? My experience is everyone doesn't go, or they come back. It depends what the next shop's like.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? And I think if they go, like you're saying, they go, the guy's the same, but they walk in and the shop's, it's just a bit low end, and it's not right. It's not what they're used to. They're a diligence client.
The music,
they're a Michael Damiano hair client. It's that,
yeah.
It's that strength, but that comes right back to the beginning of having that vision.
Yeah. 100%.
And why? You know, there has to be, this is the bit when I talk to people, it's like, why are you opening the shop? Oh, well, because I want to make more money. And it's like, you know, sadly, it's not always the way. I mean, certainly you have a good couple of years.
Yeah.
You certainly spend a good couple of years thinking, why am I doing this? You know, because it's not for the bank.
Thinks you are, but
as a boss and a leader, sometimes we sit there and we think, well, do you know what? I can make so much more money, cut hair in my garage, come home, in house calls. But the team's got to realise as well, I'm sacrificing myself to open up a shop for you guys to develop in your own careers.
So letting them know that's good though as well. Letting the team know that, sometimes the guys get paid more than me. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, so we're trying to do what we're trying to do here, you know, pushing it. And it's not monetary. It's I literally want to help you guys and push you as a person.
And I think that's the difference now. I think we do have to take on board as the kind of head of the company, that these guys are trusting you with their careers.
Yeah.
If they're going to come and work for you guys or for me for 5 years or 10 years, you know, I've got someone who started me as an apprentice at 16, who's now 32 and running one of our companies, and she's now got a couple of kids and she's bought her own house. And I think that's a great success, and she's still working with it. You know, but they're trusting you with their career. So you do have to make them aware that not only are you guiding and supporting them, they have a responsibility to come to that, you know, and those conversations from them are important. The difficult one that I think to have is when for you guys to be kind of transparent about it. Can you be?
It's
I thought that was the hardest thing
it's
I learned.
Hard when you build a friendship, because in my staff, my team, we gel so well. And a lot of people say, oh, you can't mix business for pleasure. Why not? I like to go out with my team. I like to have drinks and socialize with my team. I like to go out and socialize with the people I'm making money with. On the same path, all the same goal, the same vision. So when, like you said, it's nice when you see my team walk around. I do. I like to take my team everywhere I go. We go out to eat together. We go out for drinks together. We go around each other's houses and have food. Because we're still, that's team building.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of barbershops are like, well, I can't mix business and pleasure. Well, why not? Mm. Why can't you? Because these are the people that you trust around you. Mm. When you build that friendship up together, sometimes it can be hard.
Respect, more respect as well. I think you probably get more respect as well if you're on a level with the team as well, if you're spending a lot of time with them. You know, we spend a lot of time out of work with the team as well, like you say. And I think you do get respect like that. By being on a personal level with them and mix them in the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
Which makes it hard when you have them difficult conversations.
Yeah, sometimes.
You have to.
Especially if they're older
tell
than
them off. Yeah. And you have to have them conversations. But I feel as well, like going back to the difference between a boss and a leader, a boss can go in there and just demand, talk to them like shit, they're not going to respect you. But if you're on a level with them and you have a friendship with them, look, listen, I wasn't happy with this today, but look, you're a great person. You could just boost them up. There's a way of talking to people out of respect.
Yeah.
If I was a student, and a teacher was talking to me disrespectfully, I'm like, how am I going to learn off you?
Yeah.
I don't respect you to learn anything from you.
That's true.
So if you're a boss, I want to. My dad, he's a very old school Italian barber. He used to come in and he used to just shout at everyone. And I got to the point where I was just like, I don't really. No disrespect to my dad, he's been my inspiration where I am today. But then it's like, are people going to respect that? It's old school mentality. When you go in and it's like, that's not done, and this is not done. It makes you not want to do it. It feels like you're getting told off. Or there's a great way of talking to people. So you have to learn patience.
Look, patience is a massive key. I used to be quite, fiery, hot-headed a little bit. And I had to change all of that. As soon as I had a team, you have to slow everything down. If something, has annoyed you or something you're not happy with, go take a word with yourself. Go have a little think of how you're going to approach that instead of just flying off the handle. Do you know what I mean? That's a massive thing, because I used to do that, not with my team so much, but just as a person.
Mm.
I think I had to change that part of myself when I started, building a team, because, if you start that, you just lose the respect like that.
100%.
No one wants to be spoken to like shit.
I think that, I think two thoughts are going through my head. We'll start with one. I think I always had a lot of respect for the people I work for, and now I have a lot of respect for the people that work for me.
Yeah.
I speak to a lot of people who are having a tough time on their shop floors, and that's the bit that seems to be missing. That they're kind of fearful of their staff. They don't really want to say, I don't want to upset them. I don't want them to go up the road.
Yeah.
And because they're acting like that, their team or their workers don't feel.
Be careful that it doesn't rub off. So the pressures of your company. We're all under pressure as managers and as bosses. But the thing is, if you go into work and you're pushing that out and your team can feel that, that's a danger, because then they start to feel stressed and you don't want that.
Of course.
You don't want that. You need to, sometimes you can explain things to them on a level, like we have staff meetings and we say, look, this needs to change, this is happening, we're struggling here or whatever. But if you're going in very uptight every single day, that is just going to breed out to your staff, and then suddenly everyone starts to feel the worries that you might be feeling. So you have to be very careful of that, 100%. Yeah. And I've had bosses like that in the past. When I'm coming in, I can see he's stressed. I know he's stressed, something like money or whatever. And then it makes you feel on edge, and you're not going to perform as good.
I've got a team now. If my team know me so well, if I come in stressed, it's nothing personal against them, but I've got great team members that actually bring the best version out of me. Instead of my mood reflecting all of them, if I'm coming in and I'm stressed and I'm miserable or pissed off about something, my team pick up on that. And they're like, okay. Especially I've got Shane, he's sitting over there. As soon as I walk into my shop, it's full of energy. I can't even be.
You can't be angry around him, I'm sure.
I can't walk into my shop and be pissed off. And I see him and he just lifts my mood straight away. He reads me. And I think that's a great team to have when someone knows, okay, the boss is pissed off, something's happening. And he lifts my mood straight away. He knows how to get me out of it. So I feel that's important as well. Instead of your mood reflecting onto them, if you've got the most powerful personality in the shop, it can rub off.
Yeah.
If you're pissed off, the whole shop's pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's important to, when you're not 100%, your team needs to raise you. When they're not 100%, you need to raise them.
Yeah.
The team is so important to have.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't do it alone. You need a team around you to be successful.
And the other thing that's rocking around me now is the fact that as a, once you become the boss, because essentially once you sign that lease and stick your name on the top of the door and all that kind of stuff,
white flag straight
you
away.
Are boss. That's it. That's in everyone's minds, you're a boss, and that's that. And then you choose to become a leader. You choose to lead your team. that's the start of your journey, really, your team. And, you know, hey, listen, I've cocked up, you know, I've been running stores now. This is 35 years of opening and of running my stores. I know, I do look amazing. So old. But, you know, but I didn't get it right from day one. You know, you know, I've learned and you gain and you grow. And I think that's a really exciting bit, that if you can admit that you're learning and admit that you, I don't think we need to be as bosses. You don't have to show your Instagram face to your staff. They know.
Yeah.
And they smell bullshit quick.
Yes.
And I think as a boss, if you're bullshitting them, they know. They might go along with it because you're the boss and that.
Yeah.
But they know bullshit.
Yeah.
It's quite hard not to bullshit yourself, though, isn't it?
100%. Again, with my team, I'm honest. I'm not going to sit there and hide things. If I have a problem, I sometimes ask myself for help. There's nothing wrong with being a boss and a leader and actually asking yourself for help. Instead of the one trying to help them all the time. It's like, yo, guys, I actually need a little bit. I need help here. What do you think?
Plenty of times that's happened. You know, I've got some staff with me and, you know, I've been looking at something in a type of way. You know, one of my boys has come up to me and said, no, look at it this way, or don't worry about that, do it like this. And I'm like, yeah, do you know what? Yeah, you're right. Mm. Right. So you can learn from your staff as well.
Yeah.
You
know? But I think that's that kind of final layer of a good company and a good leader is when you suddenly realize that you're surrounded by people who are better at some of the job.
Oh, for sure.
You. Yeah. And you then become kind of, you know, air traffic control. Do you know what I mean? That actually everyone around is doing their job better than you would do it.
Yeah.
And you can then really start focusing on what your job is to make sure they're enjoying themselves, they're excelling, and they're doing well. And that's really, I think that's next level that takes a company into something really powerful.
What you just said there as well is so important, which I kind of promote in my shop, is enjoying themselves. Mm. I find it a little bit upsetting when you see barbershops and hair salons trying to be too polished, too professional. Okay, you've got to have a professionalism. We're working with people. We've got to work with staff. But I also want a team to come in and actually enjoy their day.
Not they want to be there, for sure.
Yeah, not waking up in the morning and go, oh, I've got to go cut hair today.
Yeah.
I want people waking up in the morning and go, do you know what? I love it here.
Yeah.
And I've had people leave my shop and they go, do you know what? I've worked in other shops and I've never had an atmosphere like you guys. Yeah, I want you guys to come and enjoy yourselves.
Yeah.
I don't like it too prim, polished, trying to prove a point to the public. We are human beings. Mm. So are you guys. You want to come in and feel relaxed. Mm. I don't want someone coming to my shop where they've been working in builderware all day long and they've look a mess and think, oh, do you know what? That shop's so professional. I don't think I actually want to be in there. No, feel welcome. Come into my shop.
Yeah.
I want my staff to, I promote it, enjoy yourselves. Mm. I want you guys to enjoy this. There's a line, don't cross it. Be professional. Read the room.
Yeah.
Read the room when we play certain music. So you want to have a little beer or have a drink at the end of the day. Fine, but read the room.
Yeah.
Read it. See who there is. If there's people that you may feel like they might get upset about this, or someone's coming with a son. Yeah, of course you can't drink a beer on the job. You don't want to be drinking while you're cutting hair. But I do want my staff to enjoy themselves at a level, because I want people to say, do you know what? I'll never leave that place. I enjoy it so much.
I think if you've got that sort of environment, those are the customers you attract. Literally every single team member, and you know, we've brought in a few newbies recently, and the first thing we always get back is, your customers are so lovely.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, we've had a few that maybe aren't, and they just disappear because we're not really doing what. You can't appeal to everybody.
No, you can't.
I mean, some guys who love working for me, there's plenty out there that would hate working for me.
Course, yeah.
There are customers that love the way I cut the hair or love being in my shops.
That won't.
But some that won't. And it's more nuanced than we've all had the, how much for a haircut? Whoa, I'm going down the road. Is it? We've all had that.
Don't worry about them.
And that's that first stage of you kind of going, look, it's a tenner cheaper down the road because it's a tenner shit.
I've got a way now when people do that. When they come into my shop and go, how much for a haircut? I go, hang on, how much do you want to pay?
Yeah.
And they'll go, oh, £10, no problem. I'll give you a £10 service. I won't even put a fucking gown on them. Oh, there you go, you want a £10 haircut? I'll give you one. I'm not shaping you up. I'm just going to give you a tool over, whatever. It depends. I make a joke out of it instead of being rude back and saying, look, so what do you actually want to pay? Mm. Oh, I'll give you that service. You want to pay £10? I'll give you it.
You say you can't please everyone. I mean, we've had, you know, reviews before where someone's like, the haircut was amazing. Oh, but the music's too loud. 4-star.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Haircut was great.
Haircut was absolutely great. Is that not what you came for?
Yeah. I think as well, when people leave reviews, people only go out of their way to leave a bad review. No one goes out of their way to leave a good review.
Mm.
So when it comes to reviews, people are so panicky and worried about it. And a lot of them are fake anyway. Mm. We always get our customers, could you mind give me a review? Can you give me a review? This is, to me, reviews to me mean nothing to me. Because people only go out of their way when you feel pissed off and you've left a hotel or a barbershop or a restaurant. You feel like so angry. Mm. I need to put a review here. So a lot of people's barbershops and other businesses will have bad reviews because people don't go out of their ways to do good reviews. They'll tell people, do you know what? It's a great shop there. They'll tell people
face to face, yeah.
But they won't go online and say how great it was. It's very rare when that happens. So to me, when it comes to Google reviews, it means nothing.
And I think if you've got your business, you've got your business and you can grow. I think at the early doors of that, you know, Google reviews and stuff can be quite a good monitoring service of how you're doing and when you're getting it right and wrong. And, you know, if you get a bad review, I was saying, respond in the way your company would. It's like, you know,
I don't know if you saw my response.
The fright is on you when you get the notification of, oh no. But if you respond in the correct way, normally we like to call, you know, we'll call them up and say, you know, what was wrong?
Was it? Yeah.
What can I put right for you? And usually, you know, they'll come back in and explain that, and then, you know, they might take the review down or something. But, you know, if you're personally calling them up, yeah, saying, you know, what did we get wrong?
Yeah.
It actually means something to us to find out.
I did a little social media video of a skit. I don't know if you've obviously seen my stuff, and we did a little acting improvisation where I actually read out a Google review to myself, so I acted like I was calling the whole team in, like it was a serious thing. So like, guys, look, we need to come around here, we've got a Google review. And I actually read out two or three bad reviews that we had, which just showed to people out there, it's okay to have bad reviews.
Yeah.
Some people will be hiding, oh, please take that down. I made it entertainment.
Yeah.
So when someone actually reading that now, they're like, actually, that was me that wrote that comment. They feel a little bit stupid. It made everyone laugh. It had more attention. I had more customers coming in because of that. And they said, you know what?
It's real as well. It's real.
It's a funny way of doing it. Yeah.
No, I love it. Boys, thank you so much. I'm going to run through a few questions that have come in for me. Mm-hmm. Answer if you can or if you want to. A leader that's inspired you, someone you've worked with or for, or you recognize as having an impact on you?
Mine was an old boss of mine. He just had a standard, you know, that he wanted, and he was very strict about it. And to be honest with you, I took a lot from him, you know, even just from telling me to hold a brush when I was behind him watching what he was doing, you know, telling everyone to make sure they're eating right and you know, going to bed early, or if you're, you know, work days, you're eating the correct foods and stuff. And his standard stuck with me from a long time ago. But I wouldn't say his name because not many people are going to know, but for me, that he was somebody that really stuck in my mind, and I've carried it all the way through to where I am now.
No, that's lovely.
Me with my leader, my inspiration, I find I need to know them on a personal level. I need to know them because, yes, you can be inspired by someone on social media, but you don't really know them. You don't know anything behind the scenes. So my biggest inspiration, someone I always wanted to make proud and I looked up to him, was my dad.
Yeah.
He was a hairdresser. He was an owner for many years. This is why I've taken on our surname and to bring that heritage into my own shop.
Yeah.
So my inspiration's always been my dad.
Love it.
Because for him, I wouldn't be where I am today. Yeah. And I just want to make my parents proud, and I want to continue that with my children.
I think it's an industry that loves legacy. Let's wrap it up with one piece of advice you would give a new manager or a new owner moving into that senior role.
You want to go first?
God, I'm trying to think.
I feel you need to stick to what you believe in. If you're a manager, if you believe in something, it may not be the right decision, it may not be wrong, but if you believe in it, follow it through.
Yeah.
As a leader, as a boss, if you feel like something is right, this is what I believe in, this is my heart, I want to push this forward, be original, be you. Don't try and look at it for anything else.
Yeah, if you've got a vision, I think I'm exactly the same as that. I think if you've got a vision, stick to it, because there will be people that will try to bend you off and do this type of thing. But if you've got a vision and you've got something you want to achieve, stick to it and go with it. And that's what I would say.
100%.
Boys, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. So I guess the biggie is that certainly my takeaway is, you know, listen, there's bumps in the road, guys. You know, it's not easy, whether you're an owner, a new owner of an old business or you've been doing it a long time. There's bumps in the road, but you know, that's your job, and that's the reason you took it on. You want to guide your company, you've got to guide it. Hold the reins and stay firm. If you're driving down a motorway and it starts raining, you don't let go of the wheel and blame someone else. Hang on into it and stick with it. Please talk to your team, and I think the bravery these two boys talk about being transparent and honest with their team makes a difference, because I can see not one of them shook their heads and disagreed with it, although a couple do seem to have a beer in their hand. Guys, thank you very much. We've been the Noble Barber. I've been Anthony Laban.
Thanks for watching, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
Welcome to the Noble Barber podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.